Good evening, this is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is the third anniversary show, and got a lot of great tunes, and the much-awaited predictions, and other goodies. Gonna start off with the Dead Boys. This is called All This and More. Play.
Punk rock show?
Yeah, let's go to the punk rock show.
Lost in a grab the barricade like a snake in the heart. Somehow we got driven apart.
Reader's Digest, in the back of a dirty bookstore. A plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up and I ran outside, slapped it on the window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag, gal, won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, gal, won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I went to the bank this morning, and the cashier said to me, if you join the Christmas club, we'll give you 10 of them flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit, I took him up on what he said, and I stuck them stickers all over my car and one on the wife's forehead. But your flag, gal, won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, gal, won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I got my window shields filled with flags I couldn't see, so I ran the car upside a curve right into a tree. By the time they got a doctor down, I was already dead. And I'll never understand why the man standing in the pearly gates said, but your flag, gal, won't get you into heaven anymore. We're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, gal, won't get you into heaven anymore.
Yeah.
You heard The Jam doing In the City. Before that, Sonic Youth did Ça Plane Pour Moi, an old French song from the 80s. John Prine did Your Flag Decal Won't Get You Into Heaven Anymore. No FX did The Separation of Church and State. And started off with The Dead Boys, All This and More. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live every Sunday night from 9 to 11 East Coast Time, USA, at RadioVolta.org, and relay broadcast live at AtheistNetwork.com, where you can hear the show repeat broadcasted Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 in the morning and 9 p.m., also East Coast Time, USA, as well as also appropriately on Sunday mornings when the show is back-to-back with the great hour of Slack, and also relay broadcast at two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia and one in Seattle. If you want to write to me, write Rev Bookburn, care of Quail, as in Dan, Numbnuts Quail, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, Quail at sjcdc.org, and at that website, sjcdc.org, South Jersey Clinic Defense Coalition, you can check out an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalist or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church, and have one, maybe two, weddings coming up live on the show. On the next installment of The Reverend Is In, the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl. Yes, that legalized gay erotica that is permissible by the FCC, who are ordinarily censors and kind of Taliban types, to show on television quarterbacks fondling the genitals of centers, tight ends becoming wide receivers, and all kinds of smutty behavior that we will comment on. It'll be the wrong Sunday for the actual show, but not sure if the Sunday in 2 weeks is going to have a show, since we're having some kind of equipment overhaul here. The CD players are working. The ones that are in here tonight are kind of make-do ones. So, as far as I know, you will hear all of the records and CDs that were brought for this special occasion, and I have a ton of records just in case these CD players elect to not work anymore. However, if things do go on schedule in 2 Sundays, the Sunday after the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl, which will, by the way, include a birthday anti-tribute to corporate entertainment and corporate radio buffoon Howard Squirm. And in 2 weeks, in time for his birthday, the Reagan anti-tribute. And if he doesn't last that long, the Reagan anti-memorial, followed by the annual, sometime around Valentine's Day, tradition on the show, Love Night. And coming up, the Reverend's former crush and very, very dear friend, Lady Simone, and her wedding, which is going to be kind of a foreplay to the real wedding, since they really are engaged, but they're going to have a Reverend Bookburn wedding on the show in February or March. That's Lady Simone's wedding coming up, and possibly another wedding on the show of Cindy Wildflower from wildflowerdesire.com, who just became engaged. They have a bit of a distance to travel if they want to have a wedding ceremony on the show, but that is a possibility, and you'll be the first to know if that is going to become a reality on a future show. And future live guests, Lacera Firefox from the Yahoo group Sexy Mama, which is a pretty accurate description, and writer Laura Riskell, who was a live guest on the show about 2 years ago, and author of the forthcoming books, 10 Sex Myths That Screw America. Tonight is the third anniversary show, and there's a lot of stuff that's mostly from this past year and some older stuff as well. It's been an eventful year for both the Reverend and the show, and so we'll touch on some of that stuff and play a lot of goodies from the last year and all the stuff I've been promising and not doing, like the top 10 list, the predictions, which have become an annual tradition on the show, and the true false segment, and I know there's another thing. Ah, yes. How to recognize symptoms of mad cow disease. So we'll bring them on at some point in the show, probably soon, because there's also probably more plugs than I'll have time to do, since I'm notorious for over-planning for each show. A couple of corrections. The address for the film that is a documentary about Amsterdam entitled Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, which is not just extremely entertaining, but also good for policy analysis, research papers, and what have you, is at Jonathan Blank's website. He's the maker of this film. Sex, Drugs, and Democracy is at Jonathan Blank, J-O-N, no H in the first syllable, jonathanblank.com/SDD. And that's the new website. I gave the previous and wrong one for checking out that film. And there was something else wrong from before. Oh, and the links that were supposed to be from for the DOA show I'm going to give you tonight, both are Canada related, and thanks to Canadian book burner Ed Gold for providing these. The first site has a lot of great interviews with DOA themselves, as well as Jello Biafra and a whole lot of others. There's a ton of stuff here. It's Nardwar, N-A-R-D W-U-A-R, Nardwar.com. And also Canada related, this is a place in Canada, Okijida, and it's about racism in Canada, and there's a film, Okijida Society, Not So Gentle Neighbor, and that's at streamreel.com/pointers/not gentle numeral 2, dot RAM. So all of those can be checked out while you hear the forthcoming tunes. The Jam is in the background. And, alright, we'll do one of the features since there's so many. First, the top 10 list. Somebody from Radio Volta asked for top 10 list, then didn't specify. It was just any top 10 list. Records, CDs, whatever. And the timing of that was perfect, so, because I was going over all of the shows of the past year preparing for this one and had to pick out highlights. So the top 10 shows of 2003 on The Reverend Is In has to begin with a show from last January, right after racist asshole in Congress Trent Lott was kind of dethroned in disgrace for his racism and his praise of Strom Thurmond, the most diehard of the segregationists and racists, up to his final days. Strom Thurmond, who turned out to be the father of a half-black daughter. That must have been an interesting night of conception. The theme was called Go Home, Trent Rott. And that was one of the first shows of the year. And that featured the Reverend and Marlon, the great engineer, singing an original composition, Sweet Home Mississippi, for Trent Rott. Okay. These are no particular order. They're, for the most part, in chronological order, but not completely. Family Frisky Business, a goof on a film by the American Christian Taliban types called Family Business, in which God and Satan both made live appearances on the show to comment on the abstinence peddlers. The Palm and Stroke Sunday Show, with live guests Hopeless Dregs of Humanity, the anarchist punk band from North Jersey, and Hippie John, because it was during one of his visits. And one of the most powerful shows ever done on the show, with the possible exception of the Deprogram America show about 2 years ago after September 11th, one of the heaviest shows and one of the most feedback-generating shows ever. The first Peace and Healing show for the Heartbroken from last summer, Peace and Healing Part 1. And that went way over time, too, so all of the material got in. The shows with live musical guests, Lisa Bushell and Laura Shea, there was one their show each for them as live musical guests, and then they both returned in December for the Reverend's Holiday Tree and Ball special. From last September, the Cooking with Paul Hill show, where we cooked and ate the body of executed anti-abortion terrorist and murderer Paul Hill, and the Reverend, of course, brought his very special world-famous feta sauce for that one. The Rehab Show for Pedophile Priests. The Rush Limbaugh special, Rush on Drugs. And from last November, of course, Happy Spanksgiving with Jen, alias Holy Bloody Mary. And, of course, the show with the cast members of Peekaboo Review and the great Scott Johnston. Those are the top 10 shows from last year, and there will be more of the same. Let's see, I'll save True or False for later. And since I'm in reading mode and getting into this jam music that's in the background, let's review Symptoms of Mad Cow Disease, because you may notice this with a loved one or peer in any circle of people in your life, and these symptoms are recognizable and can be detected, and with early intervention and treatment, this can be cured. The Reverend's Guide to Symptoms of Mad Cow Disease, starting with George W. Bush appears to the person in question to be a rational, stable, law-abiding, honest person deserving of actually winning an election for the first time. This handwriting bites, which is why there's hesitation. Another symptom, believing that the corporate media is a reasonable source for information about the Bush regime, the war slash occupation, the economy, and the ever-ravaged environment of America and the world. Believing that the interests of corporate America, in which the Bush regime are total hoes for, and the Reverend apologizes and means no disrespect whatsoever to actual legitimate hoes, equals the interests of the middle and working classes. Believing that the American Christian Taliban and people who hallucinate angels are appropriate for making public policy for everyone in a diverse nation, especially in the area of reproductive freedom. Perceiving the corporate entertainment industry as a provider of diversified music and entertainment, as well as the best gems of the past from the arts. Believing that John Ashcroft and the appointment of Charles Pickering to the judiciary are in the interests of democracy. Believing that the words freedom and justice can be used accurately when moving towards fascism on a fast track. And one more symptom. Believing that Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Ann Coulter, Tammy Bruce, and druggie Rush Limbaugh have one foot grounded in reality. And actually, that's all I can remember. The Reverend over the holidays lost that and some of these other things and just tried to replicate them as much as possible. All right, one more thing while we listen to the rest of this jam CD in the background. The annual predictions. Says the clergy person dropping shit on the floor. The predictions for 2004. The Pope will order all pedophile priests to attend a rehab program at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. The facility will not have enough room, so space will be rented from Reverend James Dobson. Oh, however you say this woman's name. Formerly of Destiny's Child, Beyonce will publicly let go of her bigotry and kiss Jessica Simpson on national television. However, the kiss will launch a blood feud between Jessica Simpson and Hillary Duff. It will actually come out that Duff's expressed outrage was actually a venting of her jealousy. The distributors and exhibitors of the Paris Hilton sex video will be secretly taped, getting their cocks stuck inside mannequins. The videos will be widely distributed without their consent. Lynn Cheney will consent to modeling for a dildo company featuring a real-life replica of Colin Powell's penis. Her husband, Dickless Cheney, will begin an investigation of his wife during the post September 11th period when he hid in a cave. John Ashcroft will get in a car accident while hallucinating angels and getting a new grip on his snake-handling religious tradition. Another one about Ashcroft. John Ashcroft will make peace with extreme associates with whom he is prosecuting and star in a new video by them. And that's all. Alright, True False will be later, and other plugs, well, one plug for right now, and we're going to play a Michael Hurley song, too, for everybody who supports this latest call to action. or everybody who already has been giving their support, forwarding the web link to all their friends, and otherwise getting this information out, or supporting Steve Cubby. And this is coming to a climax. It is a case where he's going to be sent out of Canada back to face a ridiculous amount of jail time in America for medical marijuana. He has a rare form of adrenal cancer. He was ordered to return January 15th, which, of course, would be a death sentence for him, but the Canadian courts so far are not seeing that, despite a fantastic presentation and case made by Steve Cubby and family and attorneys. And that's coming up January 15th. So tonight or tomorrow night, please do this. And please go to Cubby, K-U-B-B-Y, Cubby.com. And for all of you who already have, the Michael Hurley song in the next set goes out to you. And, here's some comics for you also from the Ed Rosenthal case. So far, every call to action has resulted in a tremendous outpouring of participation. The emails from Renee Boget saying that her case got a ton of support thanks to the show, and it was a successful campaign. She's still exiled in Canada for her medical hemp case, and the cases of Karen Horning, Ed Rosenthal, and Dennis Perron, all with happy endings. And if you want to see Ed Rosenthal comics, the legendary Pie Man has put them up on his site, which is pieman.org/Ed Rosenthal comics. And comics is spelled with an X. EdRosenthalComics.htm. Again, please go to Cubby.com and send that web link to everyone you know, and encourage everybody else to get the word out and to support. Do whatever they're asking people to do, which is probably write letters, send money, whatever. And it's getting a pretty decent amount of worldwide coverage, and we want to add to that. So Michael Hurley is coming up, and some other, and a few gems from the past, some anniversary presents from the Reverend, a track from a tribute CD to the Buzzcocks, and of course Michael Hurley for everybody who is going to support Steve Cubby at Cubby.com. Let's go way back in time to that period the media loves to call the 60s, actually 1970. It's the first solo release by Paul Kantner of Jefferson Airplane, also featuring Grace Slick and Jack Cassidy from Jefferson Airplane, some members of the Dead, some of Quicksilver, Crosby and Nash, a handful of others. And the first release, also using the name Jefferson Starship, it's from 1970, technically released under the name Paul Kantner, from the Blows Against the Empire album. This is Mau Mau, Americon. Go, Lord, make this equipment work.
Hide, witch, hide, the good folks come to burn thee. Their keen enjoyment hid behind a gothic mask of duty.
Their eyes so they can't see us play. diplomat. My only office is the park.
Seed and then we grow, grow, grow the weed and we pull the weed and we sell the green. We trade some on board kerosene, that's cold juice wine. When you grow the weed, you gotta hide it away. It ain't them punks, it's the authorities pulling my weed and stepping on my peas. So we plant the seed early in the spring. Call on us. It's against the law. We know you ain't shitting. Oh,
rich fools buy. And I know it's good herb for you and I. You know I wrote this song while I was high. Puff the weed, you're nothing but a slave. Oh my lord, it's the weed I crave. At the snake charmer's school, at the charm school for snakes, a bunch of torpid vipers was laid round shit
across to the roof of a school. Get that inside of his neck.
You're done.
a crop cake. Fuck you!
Okay, gonna play another blast from the past. I'm going to respond to a question now, which is, are you going to play any of the songs from the Peace and Healing Part 1 show from last summer? And the answer is, I really doubt it, because there are a million songs to get to tonight, and some of those songs I was thinking of playing in two kind of near future songs, including Love Night around Valentine's Day, and of course the Lady Simone wedding. But first, let's go back to the early 80s. This is a Philly band called the A's, if this will in fact work, and having just a little bit of equipment trouble, but I think it's resolvable. This is live in 1980 at Emerald City in beautiful Cherry Hill, New Jersey. This is called Teenage Jerk-Off. Go.
This is sort of my theme song, I believe. I mean, we can't all be like cool rock and roll stars and stuff like that. Some of us have to be teenage jerk-offs. From our new album.
not good at riddles.
You're not good at riddles?
Joke, give me the answer. If it's not a joke, if you know the answer, tell me. If it's a riddle, give me the riddle thing. If you don't know the answer, what is it, then I don't know what you're talking
about. Simple question. Why can't I touch it?
What is it, then I don't know what you're talking
about. Simple question. Why can't I touch it? 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 Simple question. Why can't I touch it?
You heard Poor in Orchard doing Why Can't I Touch It from one of the tribute CDs to the Buzzcocks, this one being Something's Gone Wrong Again. Before that, the A's did Teenage Jerk Off, Schlong did G, Officer Krupke, Michael Hurley did National Weed Growers Association, and Paul Kantner with Jefferson Starship did Mau Mau Americon. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is the third anniversary show. And I brought a ton of music and some other stuff to cover, so I'll get right into it. And somebody correctly pointed out that there has been no playlist sent out for last week's show. That is late. It's halfway done. And this reverend is overworked and overscheduled, but it will come out, and there will, of course, be a playlist for tonight's show as well. If you're new, the playlists are every song, a listing of every song played, as well as a summary of everything talked about, and all of the links to everything referred to that is plugged on the show. And we seek to kind of maximize what comes out of internet radio, since the rest of the culture is kind of narrow as a tube, as well as the corporate entertainment industry and corporate media is ever kind of tunnel vision like. This show and independent media as a whole, but especially the show, seeks to maximize what goes into a show, what kind of content, what kind of musical offerings, humor, steaminess when applicable, and every kind of goodie that is imaginable. And so the playlist kind of sums that up. You can get that by writing to me, quail@sjcdc.org. Hello to new people and to Mission for Truth in Lebanon, who wrote a very positive letter, and the Reverend says thank you. But the DOA 25th anniversary special show playlist and emailer from last Sunday night show, with all of the great equipment snags that occurred, will be going out very shortly. And there's something in Philadelphia, but I think it's going to be available worldwide. This is called the Drug War Reality Tour, and it's going to be shown at Drexel University's television, cable television show, which in Philadelphia is Channel 54, DUTV, from Drexel University, and it's also on the web at dutv.org. And this is going to be shown Tuesday, January 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, USA, and Wednesday, January 21st at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, USA. And this is thanks to a great organization, KWRU, from kwru.org, Kensington Welfare Rights Union, who are great people. And if this show is as I expect it to be, knowing some of the people from KWRU, it'll kind of blow the myths off of the drug war. They're right up front, in the front row in Kensington, and so they've seen endless house raids of the wrong house, all kinds of people wrongfully jailed, how it doesn't work regarding the problem of real drugs and real addictions, and the lack of treatment facilities, the lack of openings in existing treatment facilities that still manage to have a few scraps of funds after all the billions they spend on the racist psycho cops that are running amok in Kensington and throughout Philadelphia and pretty much the world. So this is going to be a more realistic presentation, the Drug War Reality Tour, from DUTV.org, January 20th and 21st. What else is going on? There's more film on the net. There's a film about 2 minutes long about animals, and it has a hilarious title, too. It's spelled like the word meat. And it's called TheMeatrix.com. And somebody sent that for the anniversary show. As well as, oh, this was probably my favorite anniversary present. And thank you whoever sent this. I can't remember who right now. But Moral Crusader, yet another one. Morals and Family Values and the Moral Compass. And all crimes of vice with no victims are terrible and blah, blah, blah. Who, of course, got caught in his own hypocrisy within the last couple of years. William Bennett was, of course, outed as a compulsive gambler and bettor to the tune of millions. And it turns out he's also kinky. And so the the number one present to the Reverend, so I have to plug this, for the anniversary is a... this is alleged, so we don't know for sure, but allegedly, and if you can dig up any scoop on this, we'd love to do it. Normally a private matter, but since it's a moral crusader, it should come out. Kinky Bill Bennett's dominatrix. Her name is Mistress Lee, and she's online, and supposedly she's ready to break the story herself. A beautiful Dominus, beautiful D-O-M-M-E-M-U-S .tripod.com. You could see Kinky Bill Bennett's dominatrix. I love when Christian supremacists get into stuff like this. It just sends a tingle through me. What else is happening in video news? The Bush in 30 seconds ads is generating more heat. You could check that out at moveon.org. They announced a winner, and because one participant, or I think one of the judges, was comedian Margaret Cho, for some reason there's been an extraordinary amount of hostility from mostly racists and Bush worshippers, but all kinds of assholes have been sending hate her way. And you can join the fight and kind of give it back to these assholes at Atrios, A-T-R-I-O-S, atrios.blogspot.com, or at Margaret Cho's site herself, Margaret C-H-O, margaretcho.net/blog, and to jump into the war of words. And these people really are assholes. But she's, of course, standing tall and standing strong and doesn't crumble from buffoonery. And it's frequently asked how many people are listening, how many people get into internet radio, and my response is, who knows, who cares? You know, if I got twice as much response, or if I got 1/100th of it, I would be happy doing this. It's still fun. I plan on going on for another year, even more, if it doesn't become an even more fascistic nation, and if we don't lose this outlet, which is always a threat overhead. But the Reverend will broadcast as long as possible. How big is it? Who knows? But I'm pleased when there's calls to action and when there's any kind of necessary act that enough people do it and get the word out. There is tracking now from Arbitron. They do the FM radio ratings, and somebody sent this out this week. Arbitron has begun to track internet radio, and that it is becoming increasingly popular, which means there'll probably be a lot more heat from not just the anti-freedom people, the FCC, the Ashcroft types and all that, but and RIA, Recording Industry Association of America, probably the biggest assholes on the list. Well, with the exception of Ashcroft. There'll be more heat, and as well as the FM so-called shock jocks and other laughable twits from corporate radio, from the Clear Channel stations, or the equally laughable Infinity Broadcasting. But good. An attack means you have impact, and that is a good thing. So stay tuned, and if there's more news from that end, from what Arbitron is saying, or what the world of broadcasting and media is saying, I'll relay that to you. People are sending me more and more about this kind of stuff. And back to video. I have to say that the video of the year, it's more than a year old, but it came out on video last year, is Bowling for Columbine by Michael Moore at michaelmoore.com. the more I show it to people or lend it to people or watch it again, the more I believe there's just been no better recent tapes. And even though it's messagey and there's a lot of information in it, it's also very entertaining. And the Charlton Heston visit alone was enough humor for me to say that it also had the humor component to that tape. So Michael Moore, .com, Bowling for Columbine, video of the year on The Reverend Is In. All right, I'll do true false, even though this writing is an absolute horror, and no wonder the coffee goddesses laugh at the Reverend while the show is being created, and the coffee is kicking in, and the Reverend is scribbling all this horrible stuff. This is true false for rock stars, mostly 60s, and if you guess it before I tell you if it's true or false, great. Let me know, be honest, and we'll figure out some way to reward the people who knew all this stuff ahead of time. Sir Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones once stood for the ideals and visions commonplace in the 60s counterculture. If you said false, you are right. They did little more than copy the Beatles pretty much album to album, releasing Satanic Majesties just a couple months after Sgt. Pepper, and just pretty much mimicked, which they do to this day, whatever is coming out, and maximizing the bucks. They were not out in the streets like many other, even larger rock stars, and I have to say they were pretty much always corporate buffoons and not really a significant part of the 60s. They were popular, but they were not really people who represented the ideals of the time. I can't talk this long about each one because there's too many. Before making a career out of licking the rectums of W. Numbnuts Bush and former New York Mayor Giuliani, Sir Paul McCartney once did embrace the values and ideals of the 60s. And the Reverend means no disrespect to people who really are into butt-licking. True, there was a different Paul McCartney at the time, and even though he sued the other Beatles and was the last to kind of discover what each other band member discovered in each leg of their journey, the last to want to do a psychedelic album, the last to do musical experimentation, he did come around and did do some fundraising for this, not as much as John Lennon, but there was a different Paul McCartney before he became a Bush and Giuliani cheerleader. Next, Bob Dylan was at the forefront of the anti-war movement. Easy to believe with all those great anti-war songs like Masters of War. False. Dylan was always Ivory Tower and was, well, that'll be dealt with more in the next one. But that is false. Not at the forefront of the anti-war movement. And had zero involvement in anything other than his own concerts. Next, the late folk singer Phil Oakes was merely a folk singer imitating Bob Dylan. I know this because Rolling Stone told me so in one of their Dylan worship articles and histories of the 60s. False. Actually, Dylan was more... It's more the other way. Dylan was a ripoff of Phil Oakes. Phil Oakes did mean it and live it, was in the streets as well as his own concerts, was at anti-war demonstrations, played for the Yippies in Chicago in 68, played all kinds of anti-war events, sang it, meant it, and even though he made one zillionth of the money Dylan made, gave some of that away to good causes. Next, the MC5 played some of the biggest events of the 60s, including the recently mentioned Chicago 68 Festival of Life that turned into a police riot, according to the Walker Commission's report. True, the MC5 was managed by John Sinclair of the White Panther Party, played Chicago and many other significant events, including when John Sinclair was a prisoner, playing at the Free John Now concerts and benefits, along with John and Yoko, David Peel, some of the jazz greats in Michigan at the time, and many other stars. True or false, the Beach Boys once recorded a song by Charles Manson. True, before becoming the Bush Boys and playing at Daddy Bush's inauguration, they were Charlie's Boys, one of whom had the entire family living in his mansion shortly before they moved on to their famous ranch. They recorded Cease to Exist on the 2020 album, renaming it Never Learn Not to Love. So, yes, these brainy brain surgeons and rocket scientists went from Manson to Bush. Apparently Manson was too small-leg a murderer, so they went to the big leagues by supporting Daddy Bush in 89 at Daddy Bush's inauguration. True or false, Jerry Garcia once had a functioning brain. True. You can find many interviews with Jerry Garcia in the early days of the Grateful Dead, going up to the early 70s. And even though many interviews from the mid-70s on, including the famous interview in Crawdaddy magazine, were so sad you felt sorry for him, there was a time when he articulated much of what he thought, the band philosophy, and the values at the time, before babbling like a counterculture version of George W. Forrest Gump Bush. Alright, skipping some of these because they are illegible. There's one about rock promoter Bill Graham, a buffoon. But I can't read this. Elvis was a model of being clean and sober. False. Even though he got Richard Nixon's junior narcotics officer badge of honor, Elvis, besides a foodaholic, was a druggie leading up to his death on the toilet. Even though he attacked verbally the Beatles and the counterculture, his own hypocrisy came out when he died at the golden toilet of Graceland. True or false, Wavy Gravy, from whom a Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor was named, was the voice of Woodstock. Yes, true. Wavy Gravy, formerly Hugh Romney of the Merry Pranksters, was the voice at Woodstock who talked about the hamburger stand burning down and Breakfast in Bed for $400,000 and other famous gems from that festival, has written a couple of books and is still a part of worthwhile events, musical happenings, and benefits. I read in the corporate media that Charles Manson represented the 60s. False. He represented nobody but a tiny group of people who were the opposite of what most free-thinking and free-spirited people in the 60s were about. People who, instead of thinking for themselves, were more like the born-agains who sheepishly, with apologies to real sheep, need to follow another person and be told what to think and how to live. Little did they know he would serve as a role model for Reagan and the Contras and other larger scale murderers but he did not represent the 60s. He merely mimicked the ideas. If he had gotten his start in the 80s, he would have been a TV evangelist with his own show on the 700 Club. Rolling Stone was representative of the underground press of the 60s. False. There were many independent publications, and the underground press thrived. Rolling Stone was little more, even at the time, than a corporate-run and owned mouthpiece that did more to attack the counterculture and movements of the time instead of getting the word out and getting essential information out to other people. The 60s is better represented by books like, holy shit, such as Woodstock Nation by Abbie Hoffman, books by, I can't even read this, The 60s Paper by Stu Albert, who just released a new book, by the way. Ed Sanders, John Sinclair's Guitar Army, and many writings by Paul Krasner. And there's some collection books. I'll dig them up if anybody's interested. In books that contain like a best of the material from the underground papers. Jerry Lee Lewis was once in a sexual relationship with someone eligible to vote. False. He was busy all along being a role model for Michael Jackson, allegedly, and the priests. Ike Turner and Steve Miller were domestic abusers. True. And Diana Ross was very warm and fuzzy and generous with the other Supremes. False. While Diana Ross lived as a millionaire, one of the former Supremes went through catastrophic illness and was broke and got zero from Diana Ross. Zero. Totally ripped off. Everything else is absolutely illegible and will be omitted, but it'll be on the playlist. Actually, all these things are going to be separate mailers, and write if you want them so you don't feel deluged with Reverend Email. The top 10 list, the predictions, symptoms of mad cow disease, and the true-false segments. All right, way sick of talking. Let's play, what's next? The very first song ever played on The Reverend Is In, from January 2001. Always a favorite. This is by Sam and Dave, and this is entitled Hold On, I'm Coming. Play.
Yeah. Hello, this is Ryan Primack from Poison the Well. Depression is the leading cause of suicide, and it's treatable. No one should have to suffer alone. Help for you or those you love is just a phone call away. Call 1-800-SUICIDE for help. The National Hopeline Network is free and reachable 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you so much, and take care of yourselves and each other.
Tonight, don't hold nothing back. You know it's Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
And how long has it been since your last confession, my
About
son?
4 months, I guess, Father.
Uh-huh.
I missed Mass about 15 times. I lied a lot. I fucked this girl. Excuse my French, Father. I went all the way with this girl.
Don't be embarrassed, my son. I've heard it all before. I've heard much, much worse than that.
You heard cunnilingus?
I hear that from second graders.
Wow. Wobbly warhead, you heard that? Slammed a warhead at her?
Years ago.
Low clearance clit, you heard that?
Dwarf cock.
Bosom burger?
Scrotum breath.
Albino beaver?
Iguana tits.
You know what we used to call nuns? Penguin pussy.
You bangy bottom.
Madam ovary?
Slime slit.
Mashy nipple lick?
Bug nuts.
Cock nose?
Vagina.
Oriental crack?
Superdome pussy.
Afterbirth on toast? That's pizza.
Punk piss.
Hillbilly snatch?
Boob pus.
You heard rhino clit?
Rhino clit? That's disgusting. That's terrible. Nice mouth. You kiss your mother with that mouth? You eat with that mouth? Garbage mouth.
Garbage mouth, toilet tongue, sewer mouth, sewer shoe.
Can't afford a house to join. Can't afford. My name is Dr. Laura Hoare, and I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class makes me so mad that I become turned. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long-suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. Actually pluralized again. No runner-up. For the third anniversary show, January 18th, 2004, at RadioVolta.org and AtheistNetwork.com, and two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia, one in Seattle. Assholes of the Week are the city leaders of, love the name, Moorhead, Minnesota. The town leaders, or city leaders, of Moorhead, Minnesota, no issues there, have taken to hanging crosses in the town administration building and beginning their council meetings with a Christian invocation. So, if you are from Moorhead, Minnesota, what that means is you have a standing invitation to completely blend belief systems with politics and public buildings. So feel free to worship Santa Claus, conduct satanic masses, or anything else that would otherwise cause these people to have nervous breakdowns. And my personal favorite, of course, is the worship of Brian from Monty Python's Life of Brian, but that's just my taste. Thank you, Chuck Truck, for sending that to the Reverend. The town officials of Moorhead, Minnesota, who make the Taliban proud, who further shit-can the principles of the Constitution and democracy and diversity in favor of a religious, theocratic dictatorship. You are assholes of the week. Alright, I have heard enough of that. Okay, you heard Nashville Pussy doing I'm the Man and Go Motherfucker Go Before that, you heard Ms. Terry doing Dr. Laura Hoare. Before Nashville Pussy, you heard National Lampoon, Confession. Root Boy Slim and the Sex Change Band did Boogie Till You Puke. Poison the Well did Crystal Lake. And before that, one of the band members from Poison the Well did a public service announcement from the National Helpline. And started off with Sam and Dave doing the first song ever played on the show ever. 3 years ago. Hold on, I'm a coming. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In, and tonight is the third anniversary show. And got more stuff to play. Probably not enough time for all of it. So, some quick essential plugs. And then, we'll play some final tunes. Oh, that Atrios blogspot.com got an interesting review from Rush Limbaugh, just in case you didn't think it was worth checking out after hearing the plug. According to Rush Oxycontinhead Limbaugh, quote, "My friends, this is one evil website," end quote. So get on over there. New issue of Pro-Choice Press from the Pro-Choice Action Network in Canada. Pro-Choice Action Network -canada.org. And, oh, some great stuff at Counterpunch. First, about that book by O'Neill that exposes the lies of the Bush regime regarding the Iraq war and occupation from an insider. The O'Neill Susskind Bombshells, Bush, Oil, and Iraq, Some Truth at Last, at counterpunch.org. It's one of the articles plugged in the margin, as well as some articles on some Christian supremacists like Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Scalia and Opus Dei, Radicals on the High Court. That too is at counterpunch.org. Another great article at Kershblebedev, rather, another great book from Kershblebedev.com. The Nazi Persecution of the Gypsies. And this will be on the playlist, which you can get from Writing Quail at sjcdc.org if you're new. And Censored 2004, the top 25 censored stories from 7stories.com. And it's spelled out. They don't use a numeral. 7stories.com, and also at 7stories.com, a book about a media buffoon from Fox Network. Oh, really? Factor. Very highly recommended. From the Reverend's friend, Dr. Susan Block. From drsusanblock.com. From the Dr. Susie Show at Radio Susie One. Live guest, Mistress Crystal White, and Preparations for Eros Day 2004, which will also be a video later. The latest addition to the star-studded and stud-starred cast, Lasse Braun, and Dr. Susie hosts Playboy Radio on their night call show to promote Eros Day 2004. All of that is likely to be great. And check her out at drsusanblock.com. What else? The Bush regime bypassed the Senate confirmation process to place a far right wing lengthy history of racism and a former segregationist and Christian supremacist, a guy who could easily get into a 69 with the Taliban, anti-abortion, anti-gay, anti-sex, blah blah blah, Judge Charles Pickering on a high court. And there's a lot of information about this at the website of People for the American Way, PFA, www.aw.org. Check out articles on former recipient of Asshole of the Week, Charles Pickering. Yet Bush does all the stuff about the Martin Luther King Day holiday, and then places one of the biggest asshole racists in the judiciary into a high court. And so far, very few people, other than PFAW.org, are calling him on it. A new film from the United Nations Population Fund on some ways women are impacted by war. UNFPA.org. If this is wrong, I'll send you the link. UNFPA.org/emergencies/PSA. It's real short, too. It's just a couple of minutes. An interesting thing from Virginia. From MTM Productions. A night of music, I believe punk, and wrestling. And if I get more from this guy, I will let you know. But it sounds pretty entertaining. And that's MTM Productions in Virginia. Thank you, person who sent that. And in time, for the third anniversary show. The Taliban victory of the week goes to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, although even their name is turned into a mockery, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and their secretary, former recipient of Asshole of the Week, Tommy Thompson, who issued the 2004 Women's Health Day Book with zero about prevention of unwanted pregnancies in keeping with the Bush regime's policy of adhering to the standards of the American Christian Taliban. Some great stuff at truthout.org. A lot of great stuff at truthout.org. The Fortune 500, I believe now number 500 has passed the kill mark in the young sacrifice for oil and Dickless Cheney's Halliburton interests. And this article's about that. The Fortune 500 Halliburton probe. Oh, how sexual is this? Halliburton probe deepens as contracts continue. I guess I underestimated Dickless Cheney. Another hot one. Candidates slam Bush on Pickering. It's not even the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl yet. That's next week, and I'm getting hot. And EPA sued for illegally taking direction from chemical industry group. All of that is at truthout.org. Skipping the rest of these plugs. Oops. Except the ones on this paper. Let's see. Told you about Arbitron, Michael Moore. Jelly Biafra and a lot of music and spoken word releases at AlternativeTentacles.com. And please remember to boycott the corporate scab version of the Dead Kennedys. Let's see. The latest releases by DOA, including Joey Shithead's book, I, Shithead, A Life in Punk, at suddendeath.com. Emergency contraception information, otherwise known as ECP, at abortionaccess.org. The Reverend's friends, Bill Baird and Joni Scott, who will be invited to return on National Privacy Day in March. ProChoiceLake.com. Legal information, ACLU.org. And the great Ms. Terry at RadioLeft.com. No more buggin'. Just the credits, and we'll play a song for Everlasting Godstopper. You're hearing in the background, hopefully, on our great new CD player, Nashville Pussy. The Reverend thanks the following for assistance, information, emails, and hot emails, and cartoon emails, or just plain inspiration to the following for tonight's third anniversary show. Kenny, Amoeba, Lord Jesus, Secret Chimp, Ed, Gold, who sent a ton of great links and some songs that are still not loaded on the computer, sorry. Ms. Terry, Marlon the Great Engineer, Everlasting Godstopper, Tony, Scott Johnston, the cast of Peekaboo Review, Hopeless Dregs of Humanity, Joe Keithley, Cindy from WildflowerDesire.com, who is probably going to get married on the show, and her honey. What the fuck is that? H-E-M. Hello, H-E-M, whoever that is. Melissa D. Abby, Lady Simone, and her honey, who are going to get married on the show, definitely. Mr. Zvi and spouse, Diana Rogers, Sister Anne Marie, Brooke, Justin, Plantard in the UK, European, Australian, Brazilian, Lebanese, and Canadian, and all North American book burners. Hippie John, Heidi Helper, Heidi Planner, Lisa Bouchel Band, Laura Shea Band, Coffee Goddesses, Dark Lady and her honey, Dr. Susan Block, Melanie from the Dr. Susie Show and Elegant Angel Video Productions, Deicide, Renee Bryant, Paul Krasner from paulkrasner.com, Pro-Choice League, all clinic defenders, Pie Man, Wooden Shoe Books and Records on 5th Street between South Street and Lombard in Philadelphia, Full Circle Records in Blackwood, New Jersey, all of Radio Volta for enduring the looting and theft of a transmitter by Satan's sexual partner and community leader, Sister Bay. We remember you, Sister Bay. The two Washington outlets that relay broadcast the show, Dallas Blanchard, Book Burners everywhere for another year of feedback and great fun, Joe Keithley and DOA for all the great stuff they sent to Reverend for the last show, and to everyone who is going to go to Cubby, K-U-B-B-Y, Cubby.com and support him in his medical marijuana trial, in which he is going to be sent back to the fascist fatherland for a death sentence in this barbaric prison system in which nobody with cancer or AIDS can survive with very good odds. Next week is the erotic interpretation of the Super Bowl, then the Reagan anti-tribute, Love Night, Lady Simone's wedding, and in March, the anniversary of National Privacy Day, the Supreme Court decision, Freud versus Eisenstadt, in 1972 that legalized birth control for non-married people and set the primary legal precedent for Roe versus Wade in 1973. Let's play a song for Everlasting Godstopper. You've heard enough, Nashville Pussy. This is from the great album called Born to Add from Sesame Street. And let's play the title song. This is called Born to Add. Lord, make this record player work, please.
Screaming 1 + 1 all night means we're thoughtless.